You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Just about everyone has been touched in some way by cancer. According to the World Health Organization, cancer is responsible for 1 in 6 deaths. And since today is World Cancer Day, we wanted to take some time to talk about this. Joining me live in studio is Dr. Dan Zuckerman, Medical Director at St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
When you hear that number, 1 in 6, that is staggering, yet at the same time, we always hear about someone being diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, no, it's true. Actually, and the 1 in 6 number comes from around the world. I think one of the issues here is in the United States, that number is closer to 1 in 3, even a little more than that. So for us here in the United States, we feel it even more. I think part of World Cancer Day is a recognition that across the globe, where maybe decades ago, cancer wasn't such a big of a burden, it's become so now.
And have we seen increases in cancer over the years, or is it just that people are being diagnosed earlier? Do we know?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I think there's absolutely some cancers that worldwide are, that are increasing, things like liver cancer, particularly in Asia, because hepatitis B is endemic. We see cancers like gastroesophageal cancer increasing worldwide, particularly in the U.S. and Europe. But we see some of it is that we're just diagnosing cancers that were always there and that maybe actually not harming people. And prostate cancer is an excellent example of that. Thyroid cancer, particularly in young women, who we do a lot of thyroid ultrasounds. So there are some definitely aspect of things are just increasing naturally. Mm. And some of it is that, well, maybe it was always there and we're just identifying it better.
Well, and I know you've been on the program before and you've said that there are certain cases, and I want to, is it colon cancer where in order for it to sometimes be where you actually have symptoms of cancer, it could have been like 10 years.
Absolutely, yeah. Colon cancer is sort of the model cancer in terms of having an origin in a benign lesion, something we call a polyp or an adenoma, that probably does start at 8, 10, maybe even 12 years earlier. And so, you know, waiting for symptoms, you know, if people have symptoms, sort of by definition, that usually, unfortunately, means that we're already talking about advanced stage. And the whole idea with colorectal cancer and people getting colonoscopies or doing stool tests is to catch it before there are ever symptoms. That's the whole concept behind screening, is to do a test to catch something early before anybody feels anything.
And so with that, if we're seeing numbers going up, like let's take breast cancer, for example.
Sure.
Yes, women are being diagnosed with breast cancer, but the survival rates are better than they've ever been.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think when you, the first numbers you threw out, it's clear the incidence of cancer, both through just more cancer and more identification of cancer, is going up. But I think it's important to point out that and a study came out just last year showing over the last 25 years, at least in the United States, the death rate from cancer has gone down nearly 30%. So there are, and that translates into millions of American lives that that have not been lost over the last 2.5 decades because of advances in treatment. But that said, I mean, we still see increased incidence and we still see that there are, unfortunately, many cancers that the cure rates are not as high as we'd like.
I'm speaking with Dr. Dan Zuckerman. He's the medical director with St. Luke's MISTI. We're talking about World Cancer Day. So then the question is, when we talk about going to the doctor, you get that annual exam. I mean, how important are things like that?
Oh, they're critically important. I think that's the, I mean, that's the holy grail, is that people don't even get cancer in the first place. And we already know that there's things that we can do to prevent getting cancer, like getting a colonoscopy. And, you know, it used to be age 50, but it's actually now age 45 that the screening recommendations have come out because we're seeing earlier colon cancer. There's things like HPV vaccination. I mean, theoretically, there should be no cervical cancer or many oropharyngeal cancers in the future. I mean, it should be like polio, hopefully, decades from now, if we get our vaccination rates up.
And with HPV in particular, this is something where parents need to be proactive.
Absolutely. And so we know in Idaho, we're not the total laggards. I know there's definitely about 7 or 8 states that are below Idaho in HPV vaccination. But if you look at the CDC numbers, it's something like 40-45%, I think, is where Idaho stands. But yeah, it's incumbent upon parents. I took my own, my kids are teenagers now. They're 16, 14, and 12, and they've all been through HPV vaccination. They understand what it's for. And it's really, I mean, it's literally cancer prevention. But it does take a little bit of a leap to understand that, you know, giving your 11-year-old kid a shot, you know, at that age is going to prevent them from either getting cancer or, frankly, transmitting a virus to another person who could get cancer.
Well, and it seems that when HPV vaccines came out, there was this whole idea that we were talking about promiscuity versus this is cancer prevention.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's obvious why that issue gets tied into it. And I think for all of us who are health providers, you know, we're really neutral to that statement. I mean, I think we can all widely acknowledge that most people will become sexually active in their life.
Right.
And that and people often do that at a teenage age. But that's the whole point, is to vaccinate them before they become sexually active. And that's why the ages may sound a little young to people, is we're not implying your 12-year-old should be out there having sex. We're simply saying that's the time to capture them before they become sexually active, you know, as late or teenagers or adolescents.
Why are we seeing, or do we know why we are seeing rates of cancer in younger adults?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think one of the most troubling things, you know, I specialize in GI cancers, and one thing that we've noticed over the last, you know, 5-10 years is just nearly an epidemic in young people with colorectal cancer. I mean, just last week in my clinic, I had 3 people on my schedule in their 30s with advanced colon cancer. And so the short answer is we're not sure, but I think that the latest line of research really implies that something about our diet is probably affecting the microbiome. The microbiome refers to all the literally 1,000 species of bacteria that live in our gut. And there are already some, about a dozen different bacteria that are really identified as what we would say carcinogenic, meaning that there is probably a link between something that we're eating that's in our food supply that's altering our microbiome in our gut that's leading to that. And it's something that a lot of future research is going to be geared at is sort of teasing that out.
So this morning right here on NPR Morning Edition, there was a story where they talked about some new research coming out linking obesity to certain cancers in younger adults. I talked to you about this before we came on the air, and you said that's not necessarily the only link.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's clearly, you know, to be clear, obesity is linked with about 14 different cancers. And so we know that sedentariness, lack of physical activity definitely promotes a whole host of metabolic issues and immune dysregulation that can lead to cancer. But specifically for colorectal cancer, I can just say anecdotally, as I think back across all my patients, I talk to my colleagues, you know, at other major institutions that for that one in particular, it doesn't seem so. Anecdotally, a lot of these patients, you know, seem to be normal body weight or lean, but, you know, we'll take the opportunity to say that obesity, sedentariness is linked to over a dozen different cancers, and part of it is sort of our modern life that conspires to make things easy for ourselves, and we can, you know, sit in our car and eat out of packaged, you know, boxes, and that doesn't help us.
Right. How about this idea, though, that if you are going to the doctor more regularly and if you are being diagnosed earlier, could that potentially be, if you were, like, let's say 40 and you're considered a younger adult, but you're catching something in its infancy, you may have had it when you're, you know, back in the day, catch it at 50. Does that play?
It does. Absolutely. I think it's important to say, I mean, we want to give credit to the medical community. Sure, in those instances where screening plays a role, but I think it's also, you know, it's the opportunity to say a lot of this is in our own hands with things that are, I mean, as cool and as sexy as the science can sound sometimes, really sort of getting back to basics and, you know, just things that people don't want to hear, but I'll continue to harp on, are things, you know, a healthy diet, where things, you know, basically a Mediterranean diet, mostly vegetables, and being physically active. I mean, honestly, what everyone really needs is, you know, everyone could have their own personal, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, disciplinarian, hounding them every day to get us out of sort of our lazy human nature. That would probably cut down on cancer rates as much as some of the other things we're doing.
But, I mean, and that really is true, though, that, I mean, just getting moving has to make a difference. And as a society, the United States, we have a much more sedentary culture.
We do. And you can see that we spread that around the globe. And that's why, you know, on World Cancer Day that, you know, there are a lot of benefits to industrialization and modernization. But one of the, you know, sort of bad elements of it is that, we sit. And so among oncologists, and I think I might have said this on your show before, but that we sort of say sitting is the new smoking. And as we see smoking rates decline, we've seen less lung cancer. But now we're seeing, again, these dozen different cancers, including things like colorectal cancer, uterine cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, that are all linked to sedentariness and obesity. And it's tied together. I mean, it's actually even thin people who are sedentary will have higher rates of cancer.
So bottom line, what's the advice you would give someone about, in their own hands, what they can do? Because there are times where you've done everything right and you still get a diagnosis.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, look, that is going to be true, but it's about how do you decrease your risk, and, mm-hmm. and the things you can do to decrease your risk are just being mindful of, you know, perhaps skipping that dessert, or perhaps saying, you know, maybe I could ride my bike to work today, or even as simple as, you know, I'm not going to circle for 10 minutes looking for the closest parking spot at Fred Meyer. Maybe I'll just park in the back of the parking lot and get, you know, 100 extra steps. And so there are many little different ways that we can sort of, you know, push these things back into our life.
I thank you for coming in today and talking about this. I've been talking with Dr. Dan Zuckerman. He is the medical director for St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute, talking about World Cancer Day and cancer in general. Thanks again for the conversation.
Thanks, Gemma.